You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Welcome to this episode of Caring Connections. This is Nicole Bruno, your host. Joining me today is Becky Sicali, who is a nurse practitioner and the director of nursing for Piedmont Health Services. And today we will be discussing how to prevent infections in the elderly. Becky brought with her today is a list of the top 10 things that we ought to know about infections in the elderly and probably don't. And the first one is, almost all the infections that the elderly population are susceptible to are preventable.
That's right, Nicole. As you get older, you have an increased susceptibility to infections. And when we talk about infections that plague the elderly, typically they're also called opportunistic, which means that they are infections that occur because of the opportunity. So what we want to do is make sure that we give you tools so that you can prevent these infections or do your best to prevent these infections.
It's amazing to think that we could stop those things from happening. I think that's great. The next one is that infections account for one-third of all deaths in people 65 and older. That's a huge number. Wow.
That's right. And in the United States, the number of people older than age 85 is going to continue to double every 30 years.
They're calling it the silver tsunami, right?
Right.
Okay. And the last one I wanted to highlight briefly is that aging has long been associated with an increased susceptibility to infections.
That's right. There are physiological changes and economical changes that compromise the elderly, and this makes them at a higher risk of infection.
So it seems that infections tend to be associated with the very old and the very young.
That's correct.
That's what you hear on the general news media. Okay, so infections and preventing them in the elderly. What are some of the most common infections that the elderly get when they're living at home?
One that you hear about most are urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
Lung infections like pneumonia and influenza are also very common.
So urinary tract infections, that mean people may typically call that like a bladder infection in layman's terms?
Right, exactly. And depending on where in the urinary tract the infection is occurring, whether it be the bladder, the ureter, or actually more seriously in the kidney, you may hear terms associated like pyelonephritis, cystitis, bladder infections, but typically they are all urinary tract infections.
Okay. Why are elderly people more at risk for these types of infections?
Well, when people get older, their immune systems weaken, and it does make them more prone to infection. Also, as they get older, they lose the ability to empty their bladder. Mm-hmm. This causes them to retain urine, and it can lead to urinary tract infections. Also, hygiene plays a really big role with this, especially in women.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's been around healthcare or women's health always hear, you know, the wiping front to back, mm-hmm. not using douching, those kinds of things to prevent urinary tract infections. But the wiping front to back after a bowel movement is really key. And that can actually be especially difficult if you've got someone who has limited mobility mm-hmm. or agility. They may have trouble just cleaning themselves properly. So another thing is drinking enough water. We all struggle with that. We're busy in our days, and when you're older, you may live alone.
Mm-hmm.
You may forget that you haven't had enough water.
No, you don't want to drink that water because
right.
you're on the water pill and you don't have to keep going to the bathroom.
Exactly. Going to the bathroom presents an obstacle because of mobility issues, then often elderly people will avoid drinking water.
Interesting. So I guess what can we do to prevent a urinary tract infection? I know they're very dangerous in the older population, and they don't present the way they present maybe for you and I, where maybe we feel like we have to go all the time and, you know, you have sort of that burning sensation. But in older adults, I know there's much different presentation.
Right, exactly. elderly patients tend to not present the same way. They have decreased sensation. They have the decreased ability to mount a fever. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes when they are actually having symptoms, it's in a much more severe state than you or I would be if we were starting to have symptoms. So the number one way to prevent this would be the proper hygiene, just remembering to wipe front to back after a bowel movement. If you have a loved one that you're caring for and they're incontinent, and they're wearing Depends or some type of absorbent undergarment, make sure that you change that as soon as possible after they've gone to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Have them wash their hands frequently, changing their undergarments, even if they're not incontinent, at mm-hmm. least once a day, making sure to remind them to put on clean undergarments, ensuring that they're getting their general hygiene met. These are all things you can do to prevent urinary infections. Also making sure, again, that they're drinking water. Mm. 6 to 8 glasses of water a day.
Oh, gosh, I don't even do that.
Now, one thing you do have to be careful with the elderly is to make sure that you're not pushing water if they're on a fluid restriction. Mm-hmm. Patients who have heart failure or various mm-hmm. heart conditions or even kidney conditions can be on a fluid restriction. So you're going to want to make sure that if you're responsible for this person that you check with their healthcare provider mm-hmm. to see what the recommended amount of fluid intake daily is for that patient or person.
That's good advice. Well, that's great advice. So what about the lung infections? What kinds do they get and what are the causes of those?
So usually the elderly population gets bacterial lung infections, whereas the younger people tend to get more viral infections. Mm-hmm. A lot of this has to do with the fact that bacterial infections are often more opportunistic. So if you have a pretty good immune system and pretty strong defenses, you can typically fight those off. Mm-hmm. Also, most elderly patients are not going to be in areas where they're going to be exposed to as many viral illnesses as the younger patient population. The other big lung infection that we typically see in the elderly is from influenza. When patients get the flu, it often will progress to pneumonia. And then it's that pneumonia that tends to be what causes a lot of our flu-associated deaths.
Interesting. So it's different than with younger people, that they don't tend to get the pneumonia with the flu. So, you know, I think we've gone over a few great ways that folks can not have infections and prevent infections for older adults. And we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Becky Sicali, and we are talking about how to prevent infections in the elderly. Well, Becky, when we last left off, we were talking a little bit about the flu and the flu shot. What about best time of year to have the flu shot?
So ideally, the best time to get the flu shot is going to be about 2 to 3 weeks before you actually were exposed to the flu.
How do we know that?
Well, we try to predict when it's most virulent, when people tend to be closed up inside because the weather's bad. Mm-hmm. Really, when you're outdoors, you're less susceptible because there's a greater area for the virus to reach you, whereas mm-hmm. if you're in a closed door, if you're inside of work or home, you tend to be more.
That's why everybody gets sick in the winter.
Exactly.
I always wondered why that was. That's the actual real reason.
That's
okay.
The reason. You really don't get sick when you go outside in the cold.
Even though
your mother always tells you.
Yeah, I know. Don't go out with a wet head. Okay. You're going to get pneumonia.
It's the staying inside that makes you get sick.
That's funny.
But what we typically will do is we start administering the flu vaccine in September, mm-hmm. And we'll continue it all the way into the spring. October, if you had a month to pick, is probably the ideal month to get it. Mm-hmm. But even if you get it later in the year, March or April, it will provide you some protection early in the next flu season.
Oh.
So there's really...
So it doesn't last a year, then?
It doesn't. It lasts about 9 months.
Okay.
So
okay.
You probably don't need to get a flu shot in the summer,
yeah.
but really even as late as April
is okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. And what about those other bacterial infections that affect the lungs?
So one of the best ways to prevent pneumococcal pneumonia, which is a very preventable lung infection that the elderly patients can get, is the pneumonia vaccine. Many people know that most primary health care providers, internal medicine doctors, community health centers sort of build this into their wellness routine so that most patients should be getting this vaccine every 5 to 10 years.
Okay, interesting. So that one lasts a lot longer than the general flu shot.
Right, exactly. And the strains of flu change on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. So every year the CDC works with pharmaceutical companies to try to come up with a vaccine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come up with a vaccine that's going to cover the strains that are out there. And inevitably, there'll be a strain that's not covered. This is where you get I got the flu shot.
And I still got the flu. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I was curious about that. Okay. Interesting. But the pneumonia vaccine is different. It's just pneumonia and they just cover it that way. Interesting. Okay. So are there things that a caregiver can do within the home to help prevent lung infections for the elderly?
Absolutely. The first thing is to keep your family member away from sick people. If someone is sick in the family, don't let them come visit.
So a common cold could turn into
this for them. Absolutely.
Okay.
Probably the number one best thing second to that is hand washing. If everyone in the household needs to wash their hands when they're coming in from being outside, coming in from after work, that can go a long way to preventing the transmission of infection. Another thing you can do is keep the house clean and dust-free. That will eliminate potential respiratory irritants that can make the elderly more susceptible to lung infections.
Hmm.
Make sure you have adequate pest control. There's actually some insect infestation that can cause respiratory problems.
Oh, that's gross.
Make sure your home is free of cigarette smoke. Mm-hmm. Any of these things will be irritants and make them more susceptible to opportunistic infections. Also, make sure if you have animals in the house that your loved one's not allergic to pet dander. People can actually develop allergies later in life that they didn't have when they were younger.
Interesting. Okay. What about other types of infections that the elderly can get at home?
Well, one that's pretty common, fortunately it's not as life-threatening as these pulmonary infections can be, is a foodborne illness. This is related to many, many factors. One is that their vision can be impaired, and they may not be able to see that their food has expired or spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a decreased sense of taste and smell, and that can make it difficult for them to tell if food has gone bad. They also may not take care when preparing fresh fruit and vegetables, so making sure that they're not washed thoroughly.
And I would suspect, though, if there was also a dementia component or Alzheimer's, you know, you might not remember.
Absolutely.
That something, you know, that salami was sitting on the counter for the past six hours.
Exactly. And oftentimes they will see food in their refrigerator and think that it was just purchased yesterday when in fact it was purchased even as much as a month ago.
Oh, definitely. Wow. Okay. And what can be done to prevent these types of issues?
Well, if your loved one lives at home with you or even especially if they live alone, make sure you check their refrigerator and their pantry weekly. You want to discard food that has or is getting ready to expire. If they do their own shopping or if you shop for them, make sure that they're storing their perishable items properly. In other words, when you bring meat in from the grocery store, make sure it gets refrigerated and just doesn't sit out on the counter. Make sure that you go ahead and wash any fresh produce for them ahead of time. This can help prevent E. coli infections.
And we're definitely caring for the last part of the Depression era folks. And so there tends to be, from my experience, a lot of people that just save things and they still think it's okay just because of the time when there just wasn't anything.
Absolutely. This is very, very common. And the thought of throwing food away is
very bad,
very difficult for them. And, years ago when their whole family was in the house, that didn't tend to be as much of a problem because you had more people there to eat the food.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times elderly people also have a hard time changing their shopping habits. So they may tend to still shop as if they have a house full, but in fact it's only them.
Right.
And then the food does tend to spoil.
Wow. So is there anything else that we're forgetting?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Dental hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
With the increasing access to dental care, more and more people are living to advanced age with their teeth. Of course, all the dentists are very, very happy about this. And it is a very good thing. But it also does present a very high potential of infection risk. If your loved one gets a cavity or a gum infection and it's left untreated, bacteria can actually get into their bloodstream and cause life-threatening infection. And again, because their senses are depressed when they're older, they may not feel that toothache like they did when they were 30. They may not notice that they have a gum infection. So you really want to make sure that you take your loved ones to the dentist every 6 months, mm-hmm. And as needed to prevent any dental sources of infection. If your elder parent or loved one starts experiencing bad breath that mm-hmm. they haven't had before, and you mm-hmm. know that they're brushing their teeth, mm-hmm. you may think of a dental infection.
Interesting. So it sounds to me that prevention is the way to go. Isn't that like true with everything in life?
Absolutely. You should really maintaining wellness by going to your primary care physician on a regular basis, regular visits to the dentist, good hygiene, providing a clean home environment, hand washing, good nutrition, and getting the appropriate vaccinations will keep your elderly family member infection-free and very healthy for years to come.
And that's the way we want it. Well, we are going to take a very quick break. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Becky Sicali, who is a nurse practitioner and the director of nursing for Piedmont Health Services, and we are talking about how to prevent infections in the elderly. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Becky Sicali, who is a nurse practitioner and director of nursing for Piedmont Health Services, and we have been talking about how to prevent infections in the elderly population. Welcome back, Becky.
Thanks, Nicole.
Well, you've just been an amazing wealth of information, and you know, I just love the positive approach that most infections in the elderly can be preventable. I just think that's a great way of looking at it, prevention versus being reactive to the situations. I just think that is wonderful. So you have brought with you a few resources that you thought would be great to share to the audience at large, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about those for a few minutes. And the first was a website called A Place for Mom.
Thanks, Nicole. Yes, in preparing for this talk, I looked to see what was available, and I found three websites in particular that really gave great information, especially if you're caring for an elderly in your home or if you have an elderly family member that is in the home. The first is www.aplaceformom.com. The second is parentgiving.com. Mm-hmm. And the third is agingcare.com. Great. All three of these have the ability for question answer submissions, and I felt like they were very, very helpful.
Great. And tell us some more about Piedmont Health Services.
Absolutely. So we have 7 community health centers that serve 13 counties. And we also have 2 PACE programs. And PACE programs is a senior care program that provides all-inclusive care for the elderly, hence the PACE acronym. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that program, in particular for the elderly patients. What PACE does is it attempts to allow the patients to be able to remain in their home. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a day stay program where they get picked up, they get brought to the organization. We have a clinic on site. Mm-hmm. We have dental services. We have occupational recreational therapy. They get nutrition counseling. We have cooking classes. They get provided with meals. And we just opened a brand new site in Pittsburgh. We're enrolling patients age 55 and older. And it's really a wonderful alternative to having to go into an assisted living facility. It's really aimed at trying to keep the elderly at home. And we also have that healthcare piece connected with it as well. Anyone who needs information about PACE can call 336-532-0000 or go online to PiedmontHealthSeniorCare.org.
Well, it has been a complete joy to have you here on the show today. You've been a wealth of information, and I'm hopeful that the information you've shared will help some of our elderly in our community be healthier this upcoming year. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
As always, you may email your caring question to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.